Welcome back to the AI Wave podcast, the only podcast that talks about how Rhode Island can be the leader in this AI-driven economy. I'm your host, Chris Parisi, and today we're going to talk about the AI executive order. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the governor has signed it. And I'm going to go into what does it entail, what are the key components, and is that task force that you keep talking about, Chris, is that finally in it or what? So stay tuned, get ready, and we'll ride this AI wave. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's finally here. The AI task force has been signed. So for all of you that have been following this podcast since we started about almost a little less than a year ago, number one, thank you for following along. And number two, you've known that I've been really advocating for the AI task force. This is something I've been working with Governor McKee on, advocating and pushing for so that Rhode Island can be that number one when it comes to being the leading state in the AI-driven economy. And most recently, I would say about 3 weeks ago or so, the governor finally signed it. We're finally doing here. Cue applause. We're really excited, and people have been asking, so I hear about this executive order. What the hell does it mean, right? What's included, right? I've been talking mostly about the task force, but I don't know if you know it, but the executive order actually has five key components into it. So what I'm going to do in this episode, I'm going to dive into what are those five key components of the AI executive order that the Rhode Island governor signed. And then I'm going to dive deeper into one of them. You guessed it, the task force. And I'm going to explain, what does it look like? Can we get a sneak peek into who's going to be on it? Maybe, maybe not. And what's the whole purpose of this task force? So get ready and ride this AI wave as we dive into the AI executive order and what it means about. So there's five components of this AI executive order that I alluded to. What are they and what do they mean? So I'm going to rattle them off quick. Number one, it's all about data. So the government and data unification. Number two, it's about appointing a chief data officer. Number three, we want to establish an AI center of excellence. Number four is training and education initiatives, which is very important. And then number five, my personal favorite, the creation of an AI task force. We'll talk about that last, so stay tuned. First, what I'm going to do is explain, what does it mean for data unification? Is that just a fancy way to say we're going to do some things with data? Yes and no. It's actually really important. So right now, the government has a ton of data all about us, from individuals, businesses. As a small business owner in Rhode Island, if you are one of a small business owner, you know you have to go to many different agencies. And like, why do I have to fill out a form for the Secretary of State when the Department of Health already has that information, as well as the Division of Taxation? I mean, it just makes no sense. But also from a state perspective, that, let's say, Commerce, Rhode Island Commerce, they may not have any information about our business, even though we applied with the Secretary of State. I mean, it's so much data and it's all in silos. And what we want to do, or what the state wants to do, is unify that data, make educated decisions based on that data, have a better sense of who we are as a state, more than just census data. How are small businesses doing? What's our income levels like for our Rhode Island citizens? And what are some key things that we have to do so we can act quickly based on the data? I mean, just like business owners, right? We need to make sure that we have the data in order to make informed decisions. Well, it's the same for the government. We need to ensure, from a government standpoint, that we have access to all this data, that it's unified in one big system, and that we're able to be intelligent with insights. So it's not just data, but we have insights to make informed decisions on how the state can make it a better place for our citizens and for our businesses that operate here. In addition to that, there's also agency participation. So it's a way to say, hey, we're going to do this executive order, but we need people to be involved here. So it aims to improve transparency, enhance public access to that data, ensure it's available while adhering to privacy and security regulations. Overall, ethics is important in everything, all five components, right? It's not its own component because it's applied to everything. So when it comes to ethics, it also comes to privacy. That's a very important part that we need to ensure is involved in all five components, especially number one, the data unification for our state. So what's number two? If you remembered, good for you. If you don't, I'll remind you. It's the appointment of a chief data officer. So that's going to be appointed, and they're going to maintain the AI Center of Excellence. They're going to oversee data operations, quality management, and really ensure that we establish data sharing standards and preparing the state for that AI adoption. They're going to be the point person. This is going to be a very key role. We're going to want to make sure that the individual that's appointed to this role is ensuring what's in the best interest of all of us. So that's transparency. And also thankful that we have this role. Because if we don't have someone appointed to this, a lot of this is going to fall as a to-do item to many agency directors. And their to-do items are already pretty full. So the fact that the state's investing in this position is really smart and really critical to make sure all of these components are going to be fulfilled. So that's number two, the appointment of a chief data officer. Number three is the establishment of this AI Center of Excellence. Sounds cool because it is pretty cool. So this is aimed at developing responsible AI policies. We want to minimize biases when it comes to AI. The code of ethics that I talked about, that's where this center is going to come. They're going to be consulting with AI experts, whether it's in the marketing field or in the tech field, the startup field, the data science field. We're going to consult with folks in the center of excellence, and it's going to help guide the state employees, right, within this center of excellence. All right, we talked about data unification and make sure we're using it, but how are we going to do that, and who's going to help manage that? It can't just be one person, so it has to be the center of excellence. So number four is related to that. Now we need to train and educate not just the folks in the government, but you know, the Rhode Islander that is like, how is this going to impact me? Right? We talked about how IBM, 60% of jobs are going to need to be reskilled within 3 years. That's a lot, right? What does that mean for DLT, Department of Labor and Training? Are we preparing our workforce and making sure that they have the skills that are going to be needed in the very near future? Also, back to the state government workers, how are we going to be this state of excellence when it comes to AI? We need to back up our words. So we need to educate and retrain a lot of our government workers to make sure that they're on top of all of this so that everything that we are deploying is able to be utilized, managed, and fulfilled properly. That's mostly going to be with the state workers, municipal employees, but also in the private sector. We're going to leverage existing programs and really focus on upskilling the workforce, which is a good segue into number five, the formation of the AI task force. If you did a lot of keyword research into this podcast, you would think that AI task force is probably one of the most popular phrases. We needed it, and we finally have it. So I can't tell you too much right now about who's on this task force. Yours truly. I hope so. Just kidding. I will be on it. But I can tell you who's leading it. And this individual is the perfect person to run this AI task force. Someone that has a great amount of experience on a national level when it comes to cybersecurity and emerging technologies. Someone that's been a public servant for many, many decades to Rhode Island, so he knows what it's like to give up oneself for greatness of our state. And that's Congressman Jim Langevin. Had the pleasure to be working with him more recently. And he is one intelligent, calculated, thoughtful individual that also has a tenacity, a quiet tenacity within him that's going to ensure that if his name's behind it, you better be sure that it's going to be successful. And he will chair this AI task force. And who becomes the members of this AI task force is being discussed right now. And soon we'll have that announcement of who's going to be on this AI task force. But I'll at least tell you what I envision for what this comes out to be. So here's what I'm envisioning for this AI task force for Rhode Island. Number one, we talked about workforce training. We need to ensure our workforce is skilled, upskilled, and trained for the new technologies and jobs that are going to be created in this AI economy. We need to ensure that we mitigate the job loss, right? Everyone is very scared that AI is going to take their job. And I'm not here to say that it's false. AI will take a lot of jobs, but guess what? AI will also increase and generate a lot of new jobs too. And people say, I don't get that. How is that going to happen? And I would say, listen, go back to the Industrial Revolution. And Rhode Island, which happened to be the birthplace of the American Industrial Revolution, farmers and folks were worried that a lot of jobs were going to be taken away, that there's going to be this automation, this assembly line, and we're going to lose a lot of jobs. Well, guess what? GDP and everything went up. New industries were formed and created. More jobs were created more than ever before. Then they said the same thing not too long ago when this internet thing came about. Oh, no. How? We're going to lose a lot of jobs. Automations, data, we're going to lose a lot of jobs. Well, we've been increasing jobs through every technological advancement. Why is this going to be any different? There's going to be new industries that we've never thought of before that are going to have new jobs. Now, I do think it's something that we have to seriously consider, that what if the net gain isn't there? What are we going to do? But in the meantime, here's what we have to do. How are we going to mitigate the job loss here in Rhode Island and beyond? And how are we going to upskill our workers so that we can transfer those new skills into the new jobs in the AI economy? That's one key pillar in the AI task force. And number two, we have the workers. Let's focus on the businesses. How can businesses adopt AI? How can they transform their businesses to adapt to the time so that we can still be involved in this AI revolution? We need to provide our small businesses and mid-sized businesses the resources. We need to invest in an ecosystem for startups where we're ensuring that the money's coming in, but also that we're providing labs and we're providing the data centers and providing the accelerators and the tools and the network so that folks want to come here, right? We have a great education system, especially higher ed, that has this great talent that ends up leaving Rhode Island. Let's retain that talent, which is a good segue into number three, education. We need to completely revamp our K-12. The way that we educate today is not going to be the same way we educate tomorrow. Now, this is not saying we're going to replace teachers, right? My sister and brother-in-law would not want to hear that. But we're going to enhance how we're going to do one-on-one education. Because with AI and AI tutors, we're going to be able to provide that one-on-one personalized education, which right now in our education system, it's pretty much base level, right? It's kind of the average. So if you're below, you may need some extra help. If you're above, you're just kind of waiting until it goes on to the next course, but you're just not paying attention because it's, you know, you already know it and it's below you. So we're losing on 50% of children, so to speak, if you think about the bottom 25% and the top 25%. Well, what if with AI, we're able to educate on a one-to-one level, empower our educators to give them the tools so that they can do that in a scalable way? Because having dozens of kids, you know, trying to teach them in 55 minutes, let's say a course or a whole day if they're younger, that's a lot to ask for our educators. Give them the tools. They'll do their jobs even better when they're able to educate on that one-to-one basis, make it more efficient for them, and have them reduce the hours and things like correcting papers and more time thinking strategically and creatively of how I can make this a fun experience that our students will enjoy so that they can learn. Let's revamp our K-12, and then let's look at higher ed. The AI executive order was signed at Rhode Island College's Cybersecurity and Emerging Technologies Institute. That's going to be the base for all of this, for the AI Center of Excellence. And we need more colleges and universities like RIC where they're investing in AI. They have a new program. I know pretty much every university here in Rhode Island is doing it. I mean, hats off to our higher ed community. Every university, shout out to all of them. They're really doing a great job on changing what their courses are and ensuring they have the right programs. And we all have to find a niche, right? So how does AI and the blue economy, maybe we could think about that for URI and, you know, when it comes to artists in RISD, we have to all be considerate of that and really invest in our higher ed to ensure that we're then creating the breeding ground, so to speak, for startups. You think of Pittsburgh, right? And you may not think robotics when you think of Pittsburgh, but they're the robotics capital in America, Pittsburgh, right? And a lot of it had to do and has to do with their universities and the colleges that are right there. So why can't Providence kind of duplicate that model our beautiful city and quality of life that we have with our great higher eds that we have, Brown University, RISD, URI, Bryan University, go Bulldogs, everyone that we have here. Let's make sure that they're equipped, part of all of this, so that we can have a whole system of students that go from our great revamped K through 12 to higher ed and then want to stay here in Rhode Island to build it up. So those are the three key components, right? Education, our businesses and startups, as well as workforce development in the AI task force. Now, the AI task force, I'm just one person. I mean, I want to hear what you think the AI task force should focus on. Like, what is a pillar that we should incorporate the AI task force? That's just three. There could be more. So you tell me, you know, DM, shoot a message, put a comment below. Like, what do you want the AI task force to focus on? Seriously, like, your words have an impact. I'm going to listen to them, and then I'm going to advocate for you when I'm in these meetings to ensure that this is a collective movement. This isn't just one person. This isn't just one state. This isn't just a worker on a government telling us what to do. This is only going to work if we are all involved with it. We want to be the best. Why not, right? Why can't Rhode Island be the leading state in the AI-driven economy by 2030? Why not? We have the potential. I hate saying the word potential, but we certainly do. You need that in order to get there. But now's the time to rip off that potential word and go into we are the leaders in the AI-driven economy. This executive order was the first step into getting there, making a reality, putting a budget towards it, right? In this chief data science officer, in this AI center of excellence, ensuring our data has unification at the government level, ensuring we're training our government workers and our businesses, and developing this AI task force. So I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on what you think about this AI executive order now that you hopefully have a better understanding. What you think the pillars of the AI task force should be? And I'm curious, who do you think should be on this AI task force? Do you want to be on it? I think it's not up to me, but I would love to hear what you think on all of this so that we can collectively work together. So thank you so much for listening to our episode today. You can find more information on our show notes. I'll include a link to the AI executive order. Always can reach out to me with any questions, ideas, and thoughts. I'm Chris Parisi, your host on the AI Wave podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we'll ride the wave next time. See you later.